All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossone.
And good afternoon. This is Jim Fossone for Veterans Radio, broadcasting from WAAM in Ann Arbor. We're glad to have you on board today. Dale is on TDY, and Bob is off doing a little R&R after visiting sickbay, and they've left the ship in my hands. We've got a great show for you. We're going to talk with somebody who's doing something about the mental health issues for veterans in the second half hour. And in the first half hour, we're going to talk about the commissioning ceremonies for the USS Detroit and the upcoming VA Golden Age Games that are also coming to the Detroit area this summer. But before we get to that, we're going to start with a little bit of updated information. You always should have that pen or pencil ready to take this stuff down when we give it to you. We wanted to let you know that the VVA of America, VVA Chapter 528 out of Plymouth, Canton, Michigan, is going to host its Agent Orange education campaign on May 21st at Vista Tech Auditorium at Schoolcraft College. It runs from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Veterans Radio has participated in this in the past. It's very educational. We encourage all Vietnam veterans and their family members to go learn about the impact of Agent Orange and the impact that it has on your descendants as well. You can learn more by going to vva528.org and look for the Agent Orange Education Campaign logo. And that, again, town hall is May 21st, 2016 in Livonia, Michigan. We also wanted to congratulate and wish good luck to the new director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Administration, Jim Redford. Director Redford takes over. He was a 28-year Navy captain, retired. He also is an attorney. He was a judge in Kent County for a number of years. He's part of Governor Snyder's camp inner circle, I suppose I'll call it. And we wish him luck in making sure that the services veterans need are available to them. And finally, we wanted to mention one phone number, an 800 number, that may be of value to our veterans. We're hearing a lot of concern about the Veterans Choice Card. The Veterans Choice Card is to allow veterans who have difficulty getting into VA hospitals to go ahead and see private physicians. But unfortunately, we've had a little bit of problem that we're hearing from veterans who are off trying to do that, that they're having some challenges getting their private physicians or private medical care approved, and that what they instead find themselves stuck with is some debt or debt collection issues that they really weren't expecting. So VA has set up a hotline, an 800 number where you can call and get some help on your billing issues related to the VA Choice Card. That number is 877-881-7618. And again, if you've been struggling with getting VA to approve your private physicians or have gone off to the private physician thinking that you were covered only to find out they are not covering it, then I'd encourage you to call 877-881-7618. So those are a couple of quick things we wanted to mention to you. We also will pass along that there's a very interesting museum in Greenville, Michigan. So this is sort of central portion of the state of Michigan. It has a Fighting Falcon glider replica at the museum. This is the type of glider that was used during World War II. It's a Fighting Falcon CG-4A. It was used during the DDA invasion, and those gliders were sent off, and designed, if you will, to crash in France. If you want to see some of the very interesting aviation that the Fighting Falcon did, we'd encourage you to go to the museum there in Greenville, Michigan. You can get more information by going to www.thefightingfalcon.com. So we wanted to pass that information along to you. And one other thing we'd pass along to you is certain VA Health Administration has been working on a couple of applications to assist women veterans in providing health care to them. There is a Caring for Women Veterans app that addresses unique physical and mental health issues that affect women veterans. And there's also a preconception care app that addresses a variety of factors that pertain to women of childbearing age who are veterans. These apps are an example of how VA is trying to make itself more attractive to women, one of the fastest growing segments of the veteran population. So actually, it's kind of nice to see the VA both in working in the area of creating smartphone apps and also doing that for veterans who are in the space of female veterans. These apps can be directly downloaded for either your Apple or Android product from the various stores or from the VA mobile app store, which also exists. If you're a woman veteran and you want to speak to the VA about unique issues related to your health care, they put out the phone number of 855-500-2025. So one of the topics we were going to talk about today, and we'll hopefully be joined by Adam Stevens from the VA, is the upcoming National Veterans Golden Age Games that are coming to Detroit July 10th to the 14th. Now, this is the, I think, the 30th year of the VA Golden Age Games for veterans. It's sort of a senior Olympics, if you will. At this point, all the slots for participating in the games have been taken. In fact, they go pretty quickly. These are for veteran athletes age 55 and over who are enrolled in the VA healthcare. There's a variety of events that they'll participate in, from air rifle shooting to nine-ball billiards to 1,500-meter runs to horseshoes and golf. As I say, a whole variety of different formats. So what the VA is looking for now is some help in making sure that the Golden Age Games, when they come to Detroit, July 10th to the 14th, that those 900 participants have the best experience possible, so they're looking for volunteers to help them in making this happen. These opportunities are available to anybody to help. You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to be a family member of a veteran. You just have to have it in your heart to sort of help out on this sort of senior Olympics project. Everything is that you might be interested in you can participate as a volunteer. Events will take place ranging from the Cobo Hall Convention Center to Belle Isle to Wayne State University, to Thunderbird and Score Bowling Lanes, the Lakes of Taylor Golf Club. As you can see, these games are spread out all over Metro Detroit. They're also looking for volunteers to assist at Metro Airport and at the downtown hotels, helping folks get to the right area. So we wanted to encourage our listeners here on Veterans Radio, those of you listening on WAAM, if you're listening to WAM, you're close enough to help out on these kind of programs, and we wanted to encourage you to get out to these Golden Age Games and volunteer. So how do you do that? Well, there are a couple of ways you can do that. There's certainly a website that you can go to. This is a little long, but I'll also give you a phone number that will get you in the area of being able to volunteer. But if you're ready, then I'll give you the phone number. It's va.gov/OPA/SPECVEN, SPECEVEN, /GAG/index.ASP. Now, we'll have that up on the Veterans Radio website so that you can click on it and get to it, but it's va.gov/SPECEVEN/GAG/index.ASP. As I said, that one's kind of long, so let me also give you a phone number that you can call and get some more information. You can call locally 313-576-1000. And you can another volunteer opportunity can be found by going to veteransgoldenagegames.va.gov. So that would be another way to make sure that you're in there to participate and help out our veterans as they gather in Detroit over July 10th through the 14th. And get out there and help those 900 participants enjoy themselves. Show them a little Metro Detroit hospitality. I think everybody walks away a winner in that situation. Before we go to our next interview and discussion, we'll take a short break here and get a word in from our sponsor. And we're back on Veterans Radio. I'm Jim Fossone. We're broadcasting from WAM in Ann Arbor. We're glad to have you listening this afternoon as we go through our normal Sunday program for Veterans Radio. Somebody asked me to give the volunteer email address again for the VA Golden Games that are coming to Detroit in July 10th. So we'll give it to you one more time, www.veterans.golden-age-games.va.gov, veterans.golden-age-games.va.gov. So hopefully that'll get you to a spot where you can do some volunteering, and I think you'll find that to be a fantastic opportunity to support our veterans and make sure that they have a enjoyable time in the Metro Detroit area when they come in from all over the country. There's 900 participants already registered. The next item that we wanted to give you some information on, I think, is a real opportunity for folks in the Michigan and Ohio area to get out and see a new combat ship being put together and being commissioned here in the Detroit area. We had the opportunity to talk with the commander of the USS Detroit. It's a littoral combat ship. We spoke to him about a week ago now when he was coming through town, and we hope to have on here shortly Captain John McCandless, retired U.S. Navy, who is the vice chairman of the commissioning committee for the USS Detroit. For those of you who are history buffs, this is the sixth USS Detroit that will be commissioned. It's being built up by Martinet Marine Corporation in Wisconsin. They laid the keel in November of 2012. It was christened and launched in October of 2014, and it's in the process of getting all the bugs and all the electronics, if you will, shaken out, and then they'll be ready to bring it through the Great Lakes and actually dock it at Hart Plaza near the Renaissance Center, GM Renaissance Center, in Detroit later this fall. When it comes in, there'll be about a week's worth of discussions and ceremony and opportunity for tours. I think that's the most interesting feature for many of us, to be able to get on and see such a ship up close and personal. So I believe we've got Adam Stevens on the line. Let me jump backwards for just a moment to talk about the Golden Age Games. Adam, say hello to the Veterans Radio listening audience.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Well, we're glad to have you on. I was able to give a briefing to our listeners earlier, a little bit about the Golden Age Games, but why don't you go ahead and tell folks what it's about and how they can register.
All right, so I guess the easiest way to break it down, it's kind of like the Senior Olympics for veterans. It's a bunch of different sporting events for veterans that are 55 and older, and it's intended to increase the health of our senior veterans. For the competitors, though, the registration's already closed. We have over 900 registered competitors, but we're still looking for volunteers. So it's going on the 10th through the 14th of July, and it's primarily in downtown Detroit. It's in Cobo, Wayne State, Belle Isle, and then down in Taylor and Allen Park for bowling and golf. So the website is veteransgoldenagegames.va.gov. And when you go on there, you can register as a volunteer and sign up for the specific shift or event that you want to help with.
Well, that's great, Adam. Is this something that happens every year in different locations throughout the country?
Yeah, so this is actually the 30th year they've been doing it. They move it every year, and last year it was in Omaha. Next year it's in Biloxi. I believe Ann Arbor hosted it once in the early 90s, so... It's a great honor that Detroit got selected to host it, and we're really looking forward to putting on a great event.
And Adam, are you still looking for volunteers?
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got about 2,500 slots that we need to fill, and you know it ranges anywhere from just assisting the veterans moving around, providing any information, answering questions, or last year, like when I volunteered for horseshoes. I was keeping score and then going to retrieve the horseshoes and that kind of thing. So it's not very labor-intensive, but it definitely helps out.
Well, I think you probably just have to have a personality that likes people, and you can probably be a good volunteer for this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a great chance for veterans, because I'm currently still in the National Guard, so it's a great chance for me and guys and women like us that, you know, we can go and talk to the service members that came before us. So, you know, when I was in Omaha, it was a great chance, you know, to talk about how they did artillery versus how we do it now, because I'm an artilleryman, so it was a great sharing experience.
Well, Adam, that's good news to hear. Do you have half those spots filled for volunteers, or a little more than that, or where are you at in this?
Yeah, so we filled just over 1,000, so we still got... Still got a number of shifts to fill. And if you can't do, because we got it set up to where you sign up for a six-hour block, and that's so we can provide a meal. But if you can't sign up for the full block, you can just send me an email, adam.stevens@va.gov, and I'll put you in touch with the volunteer committee chair, and we can figure out something that'll work for you. And the other thing, too, is even if you can't volunteer, just come out and support the veterans, because they're out here to compete. You know, it is a sporting event, and it is open to the public. So we really want to get a nice crowd out there cheering them on, because it's important to them, and they're important to us, you know, as Southeast Michiganders. So,
well, Adam, I think our veteran radio listeners here on WAM who are within the area should be able to help you fill some of those shifts. I've given out the phone number, and I've given out the rather long email address a couple of times. But the easiest way, I think, for people to volunteer is probably to send you an email. So why don't we give your email again, which is short enough for people to remember.
All right. It's just adam.stevens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, at va.gov.
Well, that's great. We appreciate you spending a little time with us this afternoon and filling us in on what's going on for the National Veterans Golden Age Games here in the Metro Detroit area, July 10th through the 14th. Thanks, Adam, and good luck with the upcoming games.
All right, thank you for your time.
Well, folks, that's the contact that we had with the VA regarding the Golden Age Games, and I wanted to, before the first half hour runs out, give you a little more information on the USS Detroit. As I mentioned, it's being commissioned this fall in Detroit. It is the sixth ship, Navy ship, to carry the name of the great city of Detroit. The first ship actually was a 12-gun ship built in Canada in 1813 and was captured by the U.S. Navy commander, Master Commandant Oliver Perry during the Battle of Lake Erie in 1813. And that's how we got the first one named after the city, is we took it as a spoil of war. This particular ship, the 6th USS Detroit, is a littoral combat ship. You may ask what a littoral combat ship is. Well, it's part of the Freedom class of littoral combat ships. It's high-tech. It's fast. It's agile. It's built to have a variety of missions in coastal waters, including humanitarian relief missions. It was very interesting to talk to Commander Desmond about what the ship might be, what kind of packages it would have on it, including surface warfare, anti-sub, and mine warfare. Those are the three interchangeable packages that a Freedom-class littoral combat ship can manage. It's likely that it will be stationed somewhere with the 7th Fleet over in the Asia-Pacific, but it might also find itself in the 5th Fleet in the Persian Gulf, according to Commander Desmond. This thing that I mentioned is fast. It can go at a top end speed when it kicks in of 54 miles an hour. If you think about that, that's hauling for a Navy ship. It is 378 feet long and has a beam of 57. But interestingly, in talking to the commander, the crew size here is pretty small, actually. It has a core crew of something less than 50. It can gear up to 65, depending on what package it has been outfitted with. And that's kind of unusual to be that small. The commander told us about the crew has to be particularly skilled, technologically adept to deal with these Freedom-class littoral combat ships, so that the crew on a ship like the USS Detroit is more seasoned than you'd normally see on a Navy ship. Interestingly, too, these ships are designed to have helicopter components and also to be able to carry and deploy the Navy's Fire Scout drones. We've talked about drone packages here on Veterans Radio in the past, and I learned from Commander Desmond that these particular drones, the Fire Scouts, are flown by the same pilots who fly the helicopters. They don't fly them back in the United States in a command center somewhere. They're actually deployed and flown from the ship by the pilots who are on the ship. So that's a little unusual from what we've heard in our interviews with others about the support for drones, or as the Air Force likes to call them, remotely piloted aircraft. So we would encourage you to keep your eyes and ears out about the USS Detroit coming to the Detroit area for the commissioning ceremony. You can keep getting more information about it by going to ussdetroit7.com. It's ussdetroitlcs7.com. So the commissioning committee was organized a while ago and includes components of the Metropolitan Detroit Council, the Navy League of the United States, and a 501c3 nonprofit organization that's helping raise money for all of the festivities associated with the commissioning so that you're not using your tax dollars. The Honorary Commissioning Committee Chair is Jay Farner, President of Quicken Loans. So, again, you can find out more about the commissioning by going to USS Detroit LCS7.com. I certainly look forward to it coming to Detroit and having the opportunity to take a tour and see what a modern combat warship looks like, something that's been built here in the Great Lakes in a Wisconsin shipyard, something that we can all in the Great Lakes be proud of, and I'm sure that folks from all around the area will want to come in and take a look at that. On the other side of the news, we'll be talking with folks from Cone Veteran Network about mental health clinics that they are privately funding and creating to make sure veterans and family members have available the mental health they need. We're really excited today to have with us for this interview Dr. Anthony Hassan, who is the inaugural executive director of the Cone Veterans Network. Dr. Hassan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me, Jim. This is an honor.
Well, we were very interested in the program and effort that you're involved with the Cone Veterans Network. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Cone Veterans Network has in the works?
Absolutely. So, Jim, as you know and our listeners know, our country's been at war for many, many years, 14 plus. We still have men and women deployed all over the world. We'll continue to be deployed all over the world for many years to come. With all these men and women, over 2.6 million men and women have deployed multiple times. They continue to deploy. They continue to come home and transition back home from war, transition from military services to civilian life. We know family members are impacted by this as well. So what we want to do is make sure that veterans and their family members are able to reach out and receive the support they need to deal with this transition or these transitions. About 40% of returning men and women who experience a mental health problem, about 40% who experience a mental health problem are not receiving care. That's troubling given the high suicide rates, the high divorce rates, et cetera, that our men and women are facing. So the Cone Veterans Network really is designed to reduce any barriers to care that might exist. And that could be cost. It could be access to care. So what we're trying to do at the Cone Veterans Network is to build clinics that are no cost, high quality, accessible, and comprehensive to meet the needs of veterans and their family members.
Well, this is an inspirational program. We talk on Veterans Radio all the time about the mental health challenges our many of our veterans have and their difficulty in getting services. And, you know, it's one thing to sit around and grouse about what the VA is doing or not doing. It's another thing for a committed individual and a committed group to step forward and say, you know what, we're not going to just talk about it anymore. We're going to step up and build these things. And the plan is, as I understand it, to build 25 mental health clinics across the nation and provide these services for free to veterans.
Absolutely. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what you just said, Jim, is what I've said before, and I've said it over and over again, is that I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. And Mr. Steve Cohen, it says we're going to go do something about it. And so his
And listeners, you hear that go get it attitude from Dr. Hassan. Anthony, I'm going to call you Anthony going forward, if you don't mind. But Anthony here has got that attitude because he's served. He's one of us. Anthony, tell us a little bit about your military service.
So I joined the military when I was a young man. I joined enlisted in the U.S. Army. I was a radio operator. I served 11 years in the U.S. Army. I separated as an E6. Went off to get my master's degree in social work with the purpose of going back in the military to serve as a military social worker. I went back in the military a few years later. And then I served another 14 years as an active duty military social worker in the U.S. Air Force. So I have a combined time of 25 years of active duty service. I deployed to OIF OEF in 2004 as the first combat stress control officer team from the Air Force, but I ended up being embedded with the Army. I just can't get away from the Army. So they deployed me with an Army unit, and I retired in 2009. Been working on veterans issues and transition and mental health for the last 6 years, and I've taken this job here at the Cone Veterans Network 7 months ago.
We always like somebody who's can understand their client population, and in this instance, veterans who've been out there and serving and been in theater. After you came back, you were the director and clinical professor for the Center of Innovation and Research on Veterans and Military Families at the University of Southern California School of Social Work. So, again, you put your knowledge to work in the academic setting for veterans, and now you're moving to the private sector. That's got to be pretty exciting.
It's amazing, actually, that I've been given this opportunity to do just that. I've worked in the military. I've served. I went out to USC. I built the training program and research. But the piece that was always missing was the doing. And now I'm able to do. And to build 25 clinics across the country over the next 5 years is really a dream job for me, to be able to ensure that the men and women who serve our country are able to access high-quality care whenever they need it, wherever they need it. And that's the beautiful part about this. And I am a very lucky man, Jim, to lead this effort.
Well, you're also involved in an effort that I think in the long run is going to be historic. I look at this as sort of like, Andrew Carnegie back in the 1880s looked around and said, there are not enough public libraries. If we need public libraries everywhere to be able to make sure that people get the knowledge that they need for advancement, and he funded that effort out of his own pocket. To bring it more recent, you've got the Fisher House, right? So people looked around and said, well, the VA hospitals are nice, but our veteran families have nowhere to stay when their loved one are in VA hospitals, and it's costing them a fortune, and a lot of these families can't afford it. And the Ken Fisher and his folks got together, and they've now opened 70 Fisher houses around the country. They've something like 6 million stays a year at Fisher houses, saving all kinds of money. Well, as you build out 25 clinics around the country, have you thought about how big this problem is and what it might take to gear up to solve it?
Well, we have, and it is pretty daunting. So we looked at where veterans are populated, and we looked at wait times, at VA to see can we fill a gap? Is there a need? And so we found the initial five cities. The big area of need, of course, is military families that aren't eligible for care at the VA. But there's a host of other veterans who aren't accessing care or ineligible for care in the VA. So we picked the first five cities. NYU in New York City was one of our first clinics, and that was built about 3 years ago. We're folding that one into this network, and we just opened in San Antonio 2 days ago, well, Monday. We're opening a clinic in Dallas the first week of May. We're opening in Los Angeles July 1st. And then we're opening a clinic in Philadelphia around September 1st. So we picked those cities. These are our pilot clinics. We'll learn from these clinics. We'll identify what works, what's not working, what we can do better. And then we'll scale the next five clinics. We'll have them up by this time next year with some of the lessons learned, early lessons learned from the first five. And we'll continue to multiply over the next couple of years our clinics till we get to the point of about 25. We may change where we end up. We may end up doing more in rural areas, or we may end up doing more in large cities. We're not sure yet. But one thing I can tell you is that we're focused heavily on engaging the veteran and family member to make it easy to get care. And the way we do that is we have a clinic, a hub, but we also have satellite offices throughout the county where we're working in. We're also going to deploy home visits. We're going to provide free transportation to and from the clinic. We're going to use a telebehavioral health platform so that family members could actually get clinical care from their home to one of our clinicians. That's really helpful for the rural veteran. That's helpful for the family member who can't get out away from the home. And that's also helpful for those who have busy schedules. So we're doing everything that we can to accommodate the veteran and their family member to ensure that there are no barriers to care. And I mentioned earlier, by the way, this is all free because of Steve Cohen's philanthropic contribution of $275 million over the next 5 years. And he has a long-term commitment to veterans because his son is a veteran, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who continues to serve in the reserves. This is something that's very, very close to Steve and personal.
Well, I want to talk about Mr. Cohen in a moment, but I wanted to back up listeners and remind you that we're talking to Dr. Anthony Hassan, who is the executive director of the Cohen Veterans Network, that's opening up these private, free clinics, and highlight again that this is for families as well as veterans. And I think that's so important. I'm curious as to what your reception has been from the VA.
Well, actually, you know, we have conversations with them in the local market in that we want to be a resource to the VA. We want to work with the VA on passing referrals back and forth. But we're clearly a private network of community mental health clinics that are designed to fill gaps in care. And so while there will be a relationship with the VA, all of our patient care is confidential. And we don't share anything with the VA unless the veteran wants us to. So we see ourselves as a community resource to augment and to fill the gaps in where the care is needed the most.
We've had on guests talking about veterans courts around the country, which have really been helpful for keeping veterans out of the legal system. And time and time again, those problems relate back to mental health problems. So your embedding the Cohen Veteran Network into the community, I think, is a very wise approach, and certainly one that comes out of your social worker background, I suspect.
Jim, you've got it all figured out, and I appreciate talking to another veteran who gets it. You're absolutely right. This philosophy for the clinic is driven by my social work theoretical orientation and that systems orientation, that idea of community access, the idea that veterans and family members interact with so many different systems and they're dealing with so much as they transition into their new community, that, you know, life has problems and we all deal with things. And it's not just about post-traumatic stress. It really is about life and transition and identity and just dealing with life on life's terms sometimes is difficult. And we want families to know that we're available to them. Stop on in our clinic, talk with one of our therapists, attend one of our courses on parenting or couples and relationships, and really get the help early so that we can prevent this generation of veterans from having to go through and suffer in silence and suffer alone as they're challenged with, you know, the things that we have to deal with sometimes in the military that aren't so pleasant.
I want to let our listeners know a little bit about who Steve Cohen is. I didn't know the gentleman's at all by reputation until I saw the article talking about this great mental health clinic network that was going to be built out, and subsequently it doesn't take, nowadays with the internet, it doesn't take much to learn, type in a few words and you find out that Mr. Cohen, a hedge fund manager historically, currently runs a family office, is on the Forbes 400 list with a reported net worth of $12.7 billion. I bring this up not for patting him on the back or embarrassing him, but trying to establish for our listeners that he is in this and able to be in this for the long run, and that he's been committed to veteran issues for years. I found articles on the back in 2013 when he funded made a significant lead gift to the NYU Medical Center to establish veterans mental health research. He's been involved in chairing other foundations' veterans advisory board. This isn't something that he just dreamed up and said, well, I'll get some good PR out of this, is it, Anthony?
Absolutely not. Steve is very solid and is making a significant contribution to ensuring that the long-term needs of veterans and their family members are met. Steve is passionately committed to this. Again, it's personal for Steve. His son is a veteran. Steve has been doing this, as you've indicated, with the Robin Hood Foundation. This is not at all what you were talking about. This is about Steve's commitment and long-term commitment to veterans. And, you know, veterans have done so much for our country, and particularly in the last 15 years, have been protecting us and fighting for us. He feels it's time for us to give back. And Steve is a man of doing. You know, when you talk to Steve, you quickly realize that we don't talk about things, we do things. And that's been his way of life. And so here we are, $275 million to do something. And that something is to build clinics across the country so that we can make sure that men and women have access to the quality mental health care they deserve.
And we're talking to Dr. Anthony Husson, the director or executive director of the Cohn Veterans Network here on Veterans Radio. And Anthony, one of the things we talk a lot about is that as the pool of people who actually serve gets smaller and smaller, you know, back in World War II, everybody was in the service and went to war, but now it's about 1%. It's important for the rest of the country to honor the commitment that the country has made to take care of our veterans and their families. And that's really what Steve Cohn's doing here. Is somebody, I see that he's about 60 years old. I think he probably was just after the Vietnam War draft age. But rather than just saying, well, it's not my job, it was somebody else's job, he is part of that element we need in this country to move forward and make sure we are giving to the veterans what they need because of what they've given to the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, I feel morally committed and obligated. You know, as a veteran, I want to serve and help my fellow veterans and help my military family. That's why I took this job. It's innovative. It's fully supported by Steve Cohn. He's committed. It's morally compelling to do something like this. And frankly, again, I had said earlier, I'm very fortunate to be able to build this. And when you talk about building it, these clinics are not just providing mental health care. We have outreach workers, peer-to-peer programs. We have case managers to look at the holistic needs of the veteran. You know, it goes back to my social worker roots, in that you can't just look at the individual. You have to look at the entire system and all of their needs. And so we have case managers that will work with these veterans and family members to make sure whatever needs we can't meet in the clinic, that we can find someone in the community to do that for them, that our outreach is focused on destigmatizing mental health care, reaching the veterans, creating trust with the veteran, bringing them to the clinic, demonstrating them that we not only understand veterans, but we have veterans who work in our clinics. So I'm very, very excited about what we're building. I think it's all, I've been given the opportunity to build a mental health clinic in the way that we think a mental health clinic should be built for the veteran and military family. One unique element that I think is important to share is, because Mr. Cohn is so focused on data in his business and his everyday transactions, our clinics are going to look at data to ensure quality of care, high predictability on high-risk patients, and how we can meet their needs by using big data. So when I say that, we're building an electronic health record across the entire private network of 25 clinics so that we have the ability to use data to improve the quality of care, the delivery of care, the processes that are used to engage care, identify best practices, so that as we go and scale clinics, we're actually using data from the clinics to inform the future clinics, not just our network, but imagine what we can inform for the whole field of mental health. Because we're private, because we have a network, and because we're capturing data, I think it puts us in a nice position to advance the field of military behavioral health, but also civilian mental health.
Well, I think this is exactly what's needed at the right time. I recently had a chance to talk with Brigadier General Allison Hickey, retired, who was the Undersecretary of Benefits at the VA. She made a point in our interview on Veterans Radio to talk about the VA's got to move to more towards the case manager approach, where there's somebody that the veteran can turn to, and that person will guide them through the system, get them through the hurdles of daily life. And in your discussion of what you're building out, you specifically identified that need to be able to serve that kind of case manager role for the veteran. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Jim, you're spot on. And I do know General Hickey. She is an Air Force Academy graduate. I knew some of her peers, a wonderful American citizen, and I appreciated all that she has done for the VA benefits section. So she's absolutely right. And that's what we're trying to build in our clinic network. It's just not a clinician behind closed doors, but it's a clinic of veterans and peers and outreach workers and case managers that are going to connect with our veterans and their family members in a way that's friendly, trusting, and comprehensive.
One of the particularly sad things we have going on now is veterans' suicide post-separation from the service. Have you thought about how you can have an impact in that area?
I think everything we're doing, Jim, is trying to impact that. The idea of getting engaged early with the young veteran before they become a generation that's hurt, lost, and broken. We're trying to engage the veteran early on in this process, and if we can do that, I think we have a chance to reduce the number of suicides. I think that when we talk about using biosensor technology for our high-risk veteran patients so that we can monitor them when they're away from the clinic, so that we know when they're isolating, when we know when they're sleeping too much, or the opposite, they're out and they're very anxious, their blood pressure's up, their heart rate's up, that we have an opportunity to use technology to reach them early, use the telebehavioral health platform to chime them up on their phone and see how they're doing. But our goal is to use our case management teams to be involved when they're not in the clinic. And, you know, again, you might say, Anthony, this is too ideal. I can't believe that you guys are going to do this. But I'm here to tell you, we're going to do this, and I've got the resources to do it. And the relationships that Mr. Cohen has, we're able to leverage those in a way where we can get biosensor bracelets on our patients. We can reach them through telehealth because we built that platform for the network. We can hire as many case managers as the clinic needs. There's not a need here. And that's what makes it very challenging for me is, boy, I better not fail because I've given every opportunity to succeed from Mr. Cohen's generous support.
Well, and failure, unfortunately, here costs lives, both of veterans and their family members. I am absolutely positive, Dr. Anthony Hassan, that you and Steve Cohen and the Cohen Veterans Network is going to succeed, and you're going to make the difference in hundreds and thousands of veterans' lives. Tell folks how they can kind of stay in touch and follow what's going on and support what's going on.
Yeah, well, thank you for those kind words, Jim. And we do have a moral obligation and responsibility to take care of our veterans and their family members, and we're going to do just that. And I'm committed to this. This is my lifelong commitment. So you can count on us to do everything we can to make sure that they get the care they need, when they need it, where they need it. To contact us or to stay in touch with us, you can go to our website, www.cohenveteransnetwork.org. Again, cohenveteransnetwork.org. That's all one word, cohenveteransnetwork.org.
We think this is a really important issue for our veteran radio listeners. We're glad to bring you this news about the Cohen Veteran Network kind of probably before it's even made any local papers in the WHAM listening audience range. They've got 5 clinics currently, 2 in Texas, 1 in New York, 1 in PA, 1 in LA and California. They got 5 planned for next year. You might be thinking, I need help now. I can't wait till these things build out. We'd like to point you in a direction for that. We'd like to point you to givenhour.org. We've talked to them before on Veterans Radio. It's up, it's going, it's been in operation for 10 years. It's a series of private practitioners who have committed to Give an Hour, so free of charge to help veterans. So go to www.givenhour.org, but also keep an eye on Cohen Veterans Network, as that moves forward. We think that's going to be a great help to our veterans as they work on managing mental health issues for both veterans and family members, and they merge a lot of private practice technology and ideas from electronic records to monitoring devices that you heard about. Maybe some of the things they're going to do and learn about will help VA move forward. I did want to encourage all of you listening to Veterans Radio to follow us on Facebook. We have about 1,700 likes on Facebook. Let's get that over 2,000 for Bob Gould. He'd get a big charge out of us getting over 2,000. So get on Facebook and go like Veterans Radio. If you go to our website, veteransradio.net, you'll see not only our archives there, but the button for 24/7 will give you a variety of podcasts that you can listen to. One of those podcasts would involve Brigadier General Allison Hickey that was talked about by myself and Dr. Hassan in his interview. You'll hear from she is the former Undersecretary of Benefits for the VA. I know many of you are listening to us on the web or on Stitcher or iTunes. WHAM can be found in all of those things as well. Hopefully you're sitting outside enjoying some nice weather. We're sort of 55, gray and rainy here in the Ann Arbor area. Not really a perfect weather for sitting outside with your cigar and adult beverage listening to Veterans Radio, but the weather is getting better. We will get to spring, and we will get to nicer weather here on our Sunday broadcasts. If you have broadcast ideas, if you have stories you want to tell us or topics you think we need to cover, please send us an email. Send it to dale@veteransradio.net or jim@veteransradio.net. We're always looking for story ideas. We're always looking for your input as listeners. What do you want to hear about? So those are things that we take into account and are always looking for your input on these sorts of things. So if you have a chance, go help out locally with the VA Golden Games in Detroit, July 10th through the 14th. You can get there easiest by emailing adam.stevens@va.gov. And certainly we want you to continue to follow along with the USS Detroit commissioning that will happen in Detroit later this fall. The date actually hasn't been nailed down on when they're going to dock, but they're going to dock right there in downtown Detroit. Follow that at ussdetroitlcs7.com. We'll be back again next week on Veterans Radio. And as I say, you can follow us on Facebook. You can go to our website at veteransradio.net to keep up to date on all of the latest happenings related to Veterans Radio. We appreciate you listening here on WHAM and giving us an opportunity to tell you about all of the new and interesting things that veterans should know about. Live radio on Sundays is always interesting, so we appreciate your juggling those early telephone calls with us, Derek in the control room and Nina in the control room. And I'm sure you're all looking forward to having Dale back next week at the control panel, or at least at the microphone. And until then, you are dismissed.